Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for this morning's message is the Gospel lesson, Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Dear friends in Christ, today's text, the story of the persistent widow, is one of my favorite parables. I like it because it has a certain amount of playfulness, a certain amount of humor. It's about this sly, wily judge who gave a widow the decision she wanted because she kept bugging him, because she wouldn't get off his back. The judge wasn't inclined to help her at first. He didn't fear God or care about people. His heart was totally devoid of any feelings of compassion or sympathy. But he finally gave the woman the decision she wanted to get her off his back, to get rid of her. He was exhausted by her persistence and ruled in her favor, so he didn't have to see her face anymore. That's a great parable, don't you think? And it's very helpful to our prayer lives. You see, Jesus is saying, be persistent when you pray. Keep looking for the answers to your prayers. Keep looking, because God is not an unrighteous judge. He's open to you. He favors you. If even an unrighteous judge will give justice to the persistent, how much more will your loving, righteous God give to you? God, the judge of all, wants the best for you. How do I know? Because he sent his son Jesus into the world to be your Savior. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that by believing in Jesus, you will not perish, but have everlasting life. In about 2 weeks, the church will celebrate Reformation Day. On Reformation Day, we remember how God used Martin Luther to restore the central truth of the Christian faith to the church. The central truth being justification. That means God declares you not guilty of all your sin because of Jesus' work, and you have that declaration. That declaration that you're not guilty through faith, by trusting in Jesus as your Savior, your sins are gone. Because Jesus has taken away our sin along with its guilt and punishment, God doesn't condemn us. He has nothing against us. And that means we can pray openly. We can pray honestly. We don't have to be afraid that God is going to clobber us with a lightning bolt. We can tell him what's in our hearts and what's on our minds. We don't have to pray long, complex prayers to be heard by God. O come, thou almighty deliverer, with thy succor. Visit your people with your omnipotent protection, that we, lauding and magnifying thy glorious name, may pass through this veil of tears into your glorious presence. That prayer is not one bit superior to, Lord, Heavenly Father, I'm in trouble, help me. Or even, Father, help me. Jesus told his disciples in his Sermon on the Mount, when you pray, don't keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard for their many words. We don't have to be afraid that our prayers are unacceptable to God because they're not long and drawn out, because they're not eloquent. An honest, straightforward prayer from the heart is what God desires. That being said, we do have to be persistent in looking for the answers to our prayers. The answers will come. We just have to be patient. It's not like you can say, God, give me a new car, time's up. No, we have to wait on the Lord. When I was a camp counselor in Iowa, I usually was in charge of the soccer games. I'd played soccer in college and seminary. So I was the one who taught the campers how to play soccer, and I ref the game. One day, one of the campers kicked the ball into the woods right by our field. And these woods were thick, not just a clump of trees. There were trees and bushes and vines, very, very thick. The campers spent 10 minutes looking for that ball. They looked under bushes. They went down ravines. They even looked in the trees, thinking it might be stuck in the branches. Nothing. Eventually, we had to go to our next activity, so we left the ball behind. Well, that was the only soccer ball we had. So later in the afternoon, I went back to the woods to look for the ball. I knew it had to be there. I saw it go into the woods. I knew the approximate area. I just had to lay my eyes on it. Long story short, 15 minutes later, I found the ball under some bushes. It occurred to me then that looking for the answer to your prayer is a lot like looking for that soccer ball. We know that God answers prayer. We know the answer is going to be there. We just have to lay our eyes on it. It may take time. It may take more time than we think it should. But we will have the answer. Keep looking for the answers to your prayers. And keep in mind that the Lord may answer your prayer in a couple different ways. Let's go back to that prayer for a car. Let's say you're praying for a new car. God may say yes to your request. After looking for a car, God may lead you to a good, dependable car in your price range. Or God may say no to your request. Maybe you owe 2 years of payments on your old car and God wants you to pay off that old car. Or maybe God will say, wait. You'll have that car, but wait until your financial situation is better. Or God may say, yes, you can have that car, but not your way, my way. I mean, you want your parents to pay for that car, right? God may want you to pay for that car. You see what I mean? God answers prayer, but not always with a yes. His answer may not fit our plans exactly. Yet his answer will be good, even if it doesn't fit our plans exactly. When I was younger, I spent a lot of time in prayer trying to choose a profession. I was considering a lot of different jobs, and I thought about the pastoral ministry, but I rejected it for a couple reasons. Number one, I'm afraid of public speaking. Number two, I thought if I become a pastor, I'm going to have to be nice all the time. I can imagine that, pastors being nice. Number three, if I become a pastor, I'll have to learn Greek, and that terrified me, learning Greek. So I prayed about my profession. What profession should I choose? And wouldn't you know it, God demolished all my objections to the pastoral ministry. He showed me that when you bring the Word of God to God's people, yes, it's scary, but it's worth it. You can face those fears. He showed me being nice isn't so bad. It can be kind of fun to be nice. He taught me that Greek isn't all that hard. I got a Greek grammar from the public library, and I went through it and said, well, I can do this. God led me into the pastoral ministry. God's answer may not match our original plans, but they sure do bless us. I am so thankful that the Lord led me into the pastoral ministry. It's the best job ever. You get to learn God's word and teach God's word, and you get paid for it. Praise be to God. Now, there's some controversy these days over using the phrase in Jesus' name at the end of a prayer. To put it simply, a lot of people don't feel we should put in Jesus' name at the end of prayers because it's too Christian. We're excluding non-Christians. Never mind that non-Christians don't pray to the true God. They're praying to false gods. About 20 years ago, I prayed at the legislature, one of their sessions in Springfield. When I did, I prayed in Jesus' name. I quoted Scripture. I addressed the triune God as the only true God. I even prayed for the end of abortion. And they were fine with that. And I was happy that they were fine with that. About 5 years later, I was again invited to do the opening prayer in Springfield. But this time I was told, you can't pray in Jesus' name or mention Jesus at all. And I said, thanks, but no thanks. That's not even a prayer. So why pray in Jesus' name? Why is this phrase so important? Well, when you pray in Jesus' name, you're saying, I am praying by Jesus' authority, by his power. I am praying to God. I am approaching God, the Almighty God, because Jesus has made me a child of God. I don't approach God because I'm so good and perfect. Far from it. I approach God in prayer because Jesus has made me God's child. And as a child of God, I can come to the Lord and ask him and pray to him as dear children ask their dear father. You know, it's tempting to use prayer in a way that makes God our errand boy, our gopher. You know, God, go for this, go for that. I want this, I want that, God. But prayer isn't a means of getting God to do what we want. It's not a way of controlling God. It's a means of putting ourselves in such a relationship with God that he can work in and through us. In prayer, God has a way of clarifying his will in our minds. Augustine used the picture of a man tying his boat to a rock. When a man throws a rope around a rock, it's not to pull the rock to the boat, right? It's to pull the boat to the rock. Prayer is not a magical formula by which we control God. No, in prayer, God pulls us to him. He pulls us to him and readies our hearts. He readies our hearts to be his servants. How did the prayer in the hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be, put it? Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart. It is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. Let me conclude by sharing an experience that Pastor Gus Schramm had many, many years ago. One Saturday, Pastor Schramm was working on his Sunday sermon, and he closed himself off in his study so he could concentrate. He had hardly begun to write his sermon when he heard a knock at the door. He opened the door, and there stood his 3-year-old daughter, Mimi. Mimi followed him to his chair, climbed into his lap, and put her arms around his neck. He was a little annoyed by the intrusion, and so he said, "Okay, Mimi, what do you want?" Looking at him with those innocent little eyes, she replied, "I don't want anything, Daddy. I just want to be with you." That's what prayer is all about. It's a blessed gift that brings us into the presence of God and gives us the joy of his company. It brings us to God. We are connected to God. May God, the Holy Spirit, lead us to pray confidently from the heart. to pray and seek God's answers persistently, and to pray in Jesus' name. God grant that we, as people of God, be people who cling to Jesus' wonderful promise, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. To God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be all the glory forever and ever. Amen.